seated, and if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. And let's just pray together once more before we look into the Word tonight. Thank you again, our Father, for who you are. Dear God, that we have confidence and know that you created us. Lord, we know that you love us. Dear God, we're thankful for the gift of Christ who paid the penalty for our sin. Thank you for the advocate we have in him. Lord, we thank you for the paraclete, the comforter who hath come and indwells us and helps us. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. Again, for this good group that's gathered together. And dear God, may we be encouraged tonight as we think on these things. In Christ's name, amen. Well, for title's sake, I've just entitled this devotional tonight, and it's purely devotional. Explain in a moment. Christ is our all. Christ ought to be our all, hadn't he? Everything that I need. And I was just thinking as we were singing, and this is, by the way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've said this a number of times. If you want to examine your own life and think about it tonight, if the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want, if you want, is the Lord really your shepherd? There's something wrong with the Christian who wants. Because everything that we need, everything that to sustain us, to keep us, is ours in Christ. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I like this idea of he restoreth my soul, don't you? Sometimes my soul needs to be restored because I find myself living dangerously sometimes. I walk in slippery places. We go places where we had not to go. We rub shoulders with the world and wonder how come we become defiled. We have to be restored. Then it goes and it says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And I like what it says here, for his name's sake. I've thought about this so many times. It's important for us to teach good doctrine. It's important for us to have good practices. And it's for his namesake. A shepherd made sure that he looked after his flock well so he could sell his product. Somebody would go to market and they would say, oh, so-and-so has sheep over there. he doesn't look after his sheep. The Lord looks after us for his namesake so that we will look good to a lost and dying world. To be a Christian ought to be appealing to the world. We get it backwards. We try to make the church look appealing to the world. We need to make sure that it's Christ that appeals. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've always loved that passage. In particular, I've thought so many times of this idea, and we've talked about it, you know, the guy who fell among thieves. We talk about the Good Samaritan. He was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, or the other way, I forget, just now. And there was a passage actually called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It was a dangerous place. There were highwaymen there who would rob you. And it's interesting because, and I have a picture in my office I look at from time to time, and it shows a shepherd, and he's in the mountains. And along the mountains, sometimes there would be a narrow ledge. And when it talks about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And walking through the valley of the shadow of death and those things, the shepherd would be ahead sometimes. And he would tap out his sound and it would resonate on the rock. And although the sheep couldn't see him, they would dare to walk through a dangerous place because they knew the shepherd was there. I want to tell you tonight, I've never seen Christ, but I know he's there. And I know he's with me. I appreciate what we have in Christ. Then it goes on and it says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. And as we were singing, I thought about this verse, my cup runneth over. We were singing to have our cup full. You know, the truth of the matter is, as believers, we can ask for our cup to be running over. We were singing, count your blessings. And if you were sitting here and you're thinking, I can't think of very many, two, right? The truth is, we can't count our blessings. He has blessed us according to Ephesians with all spiritual blessings. And God tonight sees us as believers, those of us who are saved, as being in Christ. What a great position to be in. We are living now, I believe, in these last days, these horrible days, the Laodicean church. We see everything going on round about us. That God can look at us and see us in Christ. Well, our message tonight is purely devotional. Why I say that, I don't know how many of you listened to the preacher this morning, but I want to tell you that I did. And it's kind of interesting because I went home and I repented. I was telling you to repent. And I want to tell you that as a preacher, it's a difficult thing to stand and look at a group of people and tell them to repent when you know that you're sinning. Trouble is, I also know that I'll never get to a place where I'm not as long as I'm trapped in this stubby little body. But the Lord has promised to protect me for the duration and to guide me for the duration. And I sit down and I was in prayer this afternoon. And I started to feel guilty. Because did you ever pray something and, for lack of a better word, theologically, doctrinally, biblically speaking, was just plain stupid? I was praying some things that I didn't even believe as I stopped to think about it. Because I started to think and pray that I wished I'd have done differently in this direction about this and about this and about this. And it dawned on me, I was reminded of something that I've known for years. The course of the world isn't changed by my relationship, really, with the Lord. And things might not have been different, but I would have. And I could have. Because it dawned on me that the Lord isn't just working in me, He's working in you too. He's working in others too. But when we repent, our relationship with the Lord is what it ought to be. And it's good and it's a blessing for us, isn't it? I sit down and the message is, I hope, isn't disjointed too bad. I want to look at just at verse 9 and I'll explain. It just says this, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I just wanted to think a little bit tonight about this idea of him having saved us. I had a message prepared for tonight. 4 o'clock this afternoon, I started to read through this devotional, Awake My Heart, J. Sidlo Baxter. How many of you have devotionals? Everybody has some, right? Well, I started a number of years ago, and I guess I shared here. I think it's 8 of these that I read every day. But just as discipline, it's not my devotions. And I wasn't reading as my devotions. It was just there, so I picked it up and I started to read it like a novel. Ever done that? Don't just read the devotional for the day. Did you ever just pick one up and start to read through it? It can become a blessing. So I started to underscore things and to write things down. And I thought, I'm just going to get confused here. So I'm going to just bring this book with me tonight. The skeleton, or most of the ideas that I want to share with you tonight, just devotionally, actually come from J. Sidlo Baxter. But it's the text, and we're going to look at 2 passages very quickly tonight. Happens to be God's Word, and God's Word spoke to my heart today, and I wanted to share these things with you. The first thing I thought about here is just this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Baxter said this, when Christ died as our sin-bearer on Calvary, he drank the sinner's cup of punishment to the last dregs. Think about that for a few minutes. As I look around this room tonight, everybody here, we're all believers. Because of what Christ has done for us. And by devotional, it's just, let's look at these things and be blessed for what we have in Christ. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the idea that he suffered and bled and he died and he was on a cross and he bore your sin and my sin in his body. And I've thought of this so many times, that he was bruised and he was beaten. And they had placed a crown of thorns on his head. And when he was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of this tonight. The believer was told, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ was forsaken by the Father so long as God could look through the blood and see his body that bore our sin. Tells us the magnitude of the punishment that he had to endure. His entire body had to be covered in his blood so God couldn't see the sin. So he's thinking about that. He paid the sinner's death. He bore the sinner's load of guilt. He endured the sinner's curse to the last stripe. He took the sinner's place. And as I thought about those things, I was the sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And sometimes what happens, and I think the downfall of most individuals as believers, most families, most churches, most organizations, comes when pride sets in. When we get to the place where we fail to see that although I've been saved for a long time, I might do my devotions every day, I might witness and I might pray. Regardless, I'm still a sinner, and Christ had to die for me. There was nothing I could do to pay for my salvation. I was thinking about these things. The vast debt, Baxter says, was canceled, and redemption was achieved. If God has already accepted it as perfect, who am I to be vainly presuming to add to it? You know, I believe tonight in eternal security, don't you? I've said this so many times, and it dawned on me one day, what an insult it must be to a righteous, holy God who loved us, who sent Christ to suffer and bleed and to die, and to be pleased, and to, for Christ to say it is finished, and to look at that, and then all of a sudden for them to believe that somebody somehow, that it wasn't enough for them, that they could be lost. It's to not understand what Christ has accomplished for us. It does not say that God has saved all. It said, who hath saved us? We have to keep that in mind tonight, because as I speak and as we think on these things, we live in a world of folks who are lost. They will spend eternity in hell. Except somehow, some way, we bring the glorious gospel of Christ to them. God convicts their heart and they turn to him. God uses us as his messengers, and we have a great responsibility. I like this. Jason Bill Baxter says, as believers, we have new tastes. Isn't that interesting? If you have new tastes, that you still sin, and that I have new tastes, that I still sin. Can remember not too long ago speaking to a young man who had fallen desperately in sin, a believer. A man who taught against drinking. And he had become an alcoholic. He said, I just wanted to see what it tasted like. We don't have to taste the world. It will destroy us. We're supposed to stay away from those things. One thing I know, that as I was blind, now I see. I want you to turn to another passage. As I read through this, I came to Colossians chapter 3. I don't believe tonight there's any tears in heaven, do you? No disappointment, no sadness, no sorrow, no fighting, with a couple exceptions. The exceptions, I've always thought about this. Lazarus died, went to heaven. Jesus called him back. I don't think he wanted to come. I wouldn't. If everything I believe about heaven is true, when I get there, I don't want to come back, not to a sin-cursed world. No, I'm not sure that was an exception. The other one was our friend Jonah, but I don't want to get into open that can of worms tonight. I've been around long enough to know not to try to spoil a good thing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And the question is just this. Is Christ sufficient for you? Is Christ all for you? Is he everything really that you need? When, I'll put it this way, when the demons come, and the tempter comes, and when you're alone, and when you're hurt, circumstances put you in a place where there's nothing you can do about what's going on. Is Christ sufficient for you? Do you know the Bible says he is? And I was thinking this afternoon, I started to feel guilty about some of the things that I've been praying about, and the answers were obvious and clear as mud. It was just this. God was saying that he knew nothing ever occurred to him. What are you worried about? Just keep praying about this thing, and I can see how the Lord's dealing with some things, and wow. J. Sidlow Baxter said that those who know him best love him most. I believe that's true, don't you? And I started to ask myself today, I've asked myself this a number of times, do I really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do I love the fact that I'm not lost? There's more to this than just escaping hell. There's this, and those of you who read Francis Schaeffer, I love his idea of time and space. There's this short period of time that I occupy space. And as long as I'm here, there's that duration, my pilgrimage as a believer, where is the Lord sufficient for that? And I find so often as believers, we will look at the Lord as sufficient for eternity, but we don't want anything to do with him for time. I'll take care of time, you take care of eternity. Sad way to live. Number one is just this. Christ is everything to us in our relationship with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody has a relationship with God the Father unless they've trusted in Christ. It's impossible to get to know God unless you've trusted Christ and recognize and realize what he's done for us. And we call ourselves believers. Why? Because we believe the Bible is true. You believe tonight that you were lost and condemned and damned. You were a sinner. It wasn't anything you could do, and Christ paid the penalty for your sin. And we asked him to forgive us and to save us. We talked about the fact this morning that included in belief is this little idea of repentance that's so often missed. We repented, and the Lord saved us. Well, also, it says here, and this is where I started to get really interested. Christ is everything to us in our experience of life. Did you ever stop and think about your experience of life? In the midst of a bit of a storm here, a few days ago, an individual asked me, "Do you like your life?" And I had to say yes. And I got a look as if you're warped. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes if you've been around long enough and you're like the guy, maybe you've heard this, the fellow whose parachute didn't open and he hit the oil tanker. Big crash, a hole in the deck, and they went down there below and they found the guy floundering around, and he says, "You okay?" He says, "Yeah, I've been through hardships before." Didn't bother him. Listen, the Lord helps us. And I thought before, there are some things in my life, even right now today, that if I were to tell you the truth, I could say, I wish they weren't there. But on the other hand, you know what? Maybe I should be thankful for the trials that I have. Nothing earth-shattering. The worst thing that can happen in the world's eyes is that we would die. That'd be okay, wouldn't it? Except, like, I don't want to be sick and die. I want to be shot. Or something like that. It's a process that's painful. Listen to this. I want to read just a little bit here. There are some disappointments in life which leave human souls in what seems to be a very abyss of desolation. The one whom we love above all others on earth is suddenly taken from us. Well, I'll tell you, I've shared and dealt with folks before who were devastated. The spouse is gone. What am I going to do? I can't live like this. I was never intended to live like this. My life is over. No, your life isn't over. His or her life is over. I can remember sharing with Ashley, I was sharing with Dad. When Mom went to be with the Lord, I said, listen, you have a lot to be thankful for. Don't worry me. Listen, you can be very thankful because you're enduring grief that she will never have to. It's a blessing for you to be able to endure this. She went to be with the Lord first, and she's been spared this pain she never experienced. And you can think of it like you were doing this for her. He never thought of that before, but he didn't want any more of my ideas. Life can never be the same again. The sun seems blotted out. The days drag. We wonder how the world can go on around us without pausing to share our grief. Or it may be love is given to another, and we know that whatever future years may bring, we shall always carry a grave in our heart. Did you ever talk to someone who seemed to have a grave in their heart? Something went wrong. I want to tell you, I've thought so many times about a fellow by the name of Watchman Nee. He spent so many years in prison, so badly wanting to be reunited with his wife, and then shortly after he got out of prison, his wife died. One of the better theologians, a guy who I appreciate his writing of commentary on Scripture, spent years in prison. Horribly abused by his government, by his people. If some of those things happened to us, we would have abandoned God years ago. If you were to ask him today, would he have changed things? He probably wouldn't have, because he accepted it as this is what the Lord would have for him. Or maybe that sickness fell on us, or that one stroke knocks the bottom out of our most cherished plans. Or maybe some gradual perception that our life's highest ambition can never be realized because of thwarting circumstances, or the heartbreaking discovery that a loved one has proved unfaithful, or some major business reverse which seems to shatter our happiness and prospects and so on. Instantly, at any moment, at any time, in any of our lives, something can come along that will change our lives forever, for as long as we live. There isn't anything that we can do about. It's those times when we have to stop and ask ourselves, is Christ our all? And I thought about it, you know, before. It would be horrible to try to endure the world today without Christ. Where do people turn? What do you do in those dark hours and so on? And he just said here, and yes, Christ is everything to us amid life's disappointments, amid sickness and trial and trouble. And then he said two other words that I thought were rather interesting. How about temptation? Is Christ our all amidst, during those times when we're being tempted? Anybody here not tempted? Some of you were tempted to lie. I could see you. And most of all, in the hour of death. Having looked at that and thinking about Christ being our all, there's just a couple more things that I would like to read here tonight. And it was too much for me to copy. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, I'm going to do something that's not traditional or conventional or something that I normally do, is to bring a book along. But anyway, here it is. When we use the word in its stricter sense, we mean that Jesus, it has to do with Christ as being our Savior. Have you thought in terms of Him being your Savior lately? We were saved from a lot. By his substitutionary sin bearing on Calvary, he saves us from the legal guilt and penalty of sin, providing imputed righteousness, justification, and reconciliation with God. By his present spiritual occupancy of our hearts, he saves us from the enslaving tyranny of hereditary sin entrenched in our nature. Think about that. You have inherited a sin nature. We're saturated with, we just have a tendency to sin, all of us. And for some reason, we don't get past this. You know, Christ saved us from that. Both from the coarser sins of the flesh and the more refined sins of the mind, such as pride, fear, hate, and evil ambition. the second coming, he will be our Savior, even from the last lingering constitutional effects of sin in our nature, translating us with sinless hearts and perfected powers and amplified capabilities to share his royal glory and heavenly blessedness. Now, this is what I want to close with, and I want you to think about. And I sat and spent some time in prayer and thinking just about these words tonight. Keep in mind this. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And we look at the seven I am sayings in John and so on, and the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, when you take a look at John 1:1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Genesis 1, in the beginning God created. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Creator, and he created for himself. And so on, that Jesus Christ is the eternal I am, ever-present tense. And we start to think in those terms. We need to keep this word in our mind, that he's constant. Christ isn't going to fail or fade or change. Who he said he was and is and will be forever. Revelation chapter 1 helps us with that. He's our constant, number one, he's our constant companion. Al Smith, I think, wrote the little song there, "It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me," and Galatians says that. So the idea is just this, that Christ is our companion. I want to tell you, when trouble comes, isn't it nice to have a companion? Somebody that you can what? Share with. So companion, how about comforter? I want to tell you, there are times when it seems as if there wouldn't be another person on planet Earth who has whatever it takes to comfort another person. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't want somebody to comfort you? Like, quit comforting me, you're making it worse. Just leave me alone. And have you ever tried to comfort someone and you're trying to figure out, should I say more or should I say nothing? And is my presence just annoying? What are we supposed to do? I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful comforter. When you stop and think of who he is, what we have in him, and so on. How about this? Counselor. Ever needed counsel? I don't always know what to do. And I find it's great and wonderful. We all have our Zophars, Bildad, Eliphaz, Elihu, you know, like Job's counselors. Then the last one, Elihu, was my least favorite because he was a young whippersnapper and sort of a smarty pants. Just what Job needed. Ever had a wonderful difficulty? Gail brought that back to my mind this morning when she asked me, "Why are you smirking?" I tried not to, and I guess I was caught. I don't think I was, but... Good counsel is hard to find. How about this? Confidant. Somebody that I can tell this difficulty to, and they're not going to tell someone else. It's hard to find a good confidant. Especially one that will understand. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and because he's man, he understands. And he could justly and rightly and honestly say, when we bring these things to him, that he already knew. But he appreciates and likes us to go to him as our what? As our confidant. How many of you ever shared a deep, dark secret with someone and they sort of laughed at you? Then you become embarrassed? Sure. That's why people become rather silent. How about this? He's a sympathizer. Do you think the Lord has sympathy on us? It's nice to have somebody have sympathy when you're hurting, isn't it? Doesn't mean that he pities us or looks at us as, in human terms at least, as, oh, you know, if you only would have behaved yourself, this wouldn't have happened, although that might be the truth. He has sympathy because he understands our frailty. How about this? A sustainer. I like to have somebody sustain me sometimes when I can't do it myself. Wouldn't you? Don't you? It's not the one who accuses us. You know, the wicked one's the accuser of the brethren. Christ is our advocate. Sanctifier, satisfier, secret source of strength and cheerfulness. He guides us. I need a guide. because I find it's pretty easy in the world today to lose your way. We've been bombarded with ideas. You take a look at some of the, I've mentioned this, I guess, CDs, DVDs, some of those other things that I don't know how to work, those little machines, the little thumbnail things you stick in. You can find all the kind of preaching, teaching, false, good, bad, the whole thing is all available to us. And we need somebody to guide us. Also, it's genuine and it's true that the Lord Jesus Christ guards us. Christ is our all in all. He looks after us and He cares for us. He is both divine and He's human. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, the thing is just this. When you stop and look at it, and you look at yourself, and you look at God's Word, and just three words like this, Christ is all, then you have to ask yourself this question. In your life, is Christ all? I ask myself today, is Christ all? And I'm embarrassed to tell you the real truth of the matter is there's some areas of my life that I don't want to give over to Him. There's some areas that I could look at and say, yeah, I'm doing not so bad. But the real truth of the matter is I know that I could be more effective for Him. The peace of God that passeth understanding that's available to me would be more real and more relevant in my life if I had the grace and the courage and the will to give it all to Him, because Christ is our all. He wants to be our all, and everything that you ever hoped for or wanted or need as a believer, we have in Christ. Let's pray. Again, our Father, we thank You for these few minutes, and I just ask, Lord, that You'd cause us to examine our own hearts, and Lord, those areas that we've been selfish, those areas, dear God, that we're quite comfortable to look after ourselves, Lord, that we would turn over to You. I don't think the world really has ever seen a man or a woman who's truly, completely surrendered. I just pray, Lord, that we would desire to abandon ourselves and to give our lives to You. And I thank You, Lord, that you are everything to the believer. And there's no circumstance, there's no giants too big, there's no fences too high. There's nothing, dear God, that's too hard or difficult for You. I just pray, Lord, that as we look on these things and think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is in terms of our Savior, as our friend, Lord, that we'd be blessed and we'd be encouraged, and Lord, that it would be contagious in our lives. We ask it in Christ's name.